You're listening to the 405 Exchange Podcast. My name is Ken Grandpierre, and today's episode is with the Amours. Jakia and Shayna make up the Amours. They're two absurdly talented singers who are based in Washington, D.C., who are also reminding us why there's still a place for R&B in 2019. Along with being the backing singers of PJ Morton's live band, the Amours have recently released their stellar debut EP, Monomore. On this episode, we go into their story, how they got started, and the evolution from singing in churches to singing in concert halls across the country. This is the 405 Exchange with the Amours. Enjoy. So it's a pleasure getting to be sat here with you today on a fucking Saturday, right before you play at
you
a
just swear. Winery.
It's funny, I do. I'm trying to be a little bit more mindful, but it's like,
no, it's cool. You can do it. I'm just gonna count.
You're gonna
let me
count?
Get a swear jar for you.
We should, but you know, this is where one of those talks where I feel like it'd be really helpful for listeners to get a good gauge of who you are. So we should like go back to the beginning a little bit. So
sure.
So tell me, when did music come into your life?
Oh, okay. My sister's letting me go first. This is Jakia Ayana speaking. We started when we were younger. We're sisters. We're blood sisters. A lot of people don't know that we're actual sisters. So when we were younger, we started singing in church together, and that was like the foundation, like singing at church. And then as we were growing up, our mom put us in a lot of musical theater programs. So like those kind of like molded us into being like, oh, we really want to be singers and maybe actresses or something like that. So yeah, that was like the start.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really incredible about that is that I've been fortunate to talk to a couple of people who have had that background with singing in church. I think what's really amazing is that from what I've noticed is that when you kind of have that as your start, the idea of performing, the idea of the community behind performing mechanics, you get to see the practicalities of it in a way that a lot of people don't when you're young.
Yes,
for sure. And it just teaches you church. This is Shayna talking. Church teaches you a lot of discipline, you know what I'm saying? It taught us a lot of discipline for when we got to the industry, and just how to sing, and like it's a lot of training, honestly, and practice.
That's really cool. Is it one of those things, I'm almost curious if like when you were going to school, was it one of those things that like people in your classes or even your school just kind of look at you like, oh wow, you're the girls who perform? Like, did you guys kind of have that reputation?
Well, no, we went to an art school,
so everybody did it,
you know.
Oh, so it's pretty much like fame.
A lot of people compare our school. We went to Duke Ellington School of the Arts in DC. It's like a renowned art school there, and everyone always says, oh, you went to school like Fame, but it's like, I feel like Fame is really not how an art school really goes. Like, it's like, it's super, super fiction. Like, no, that's not it. It's like it, but it's so different.
I went to art school here in the city as well.
What school?
I went to the Art Institute here, and then I went to School of Visual Arts for a bit.
Oh, cool. Dope.
And something
dope.
I feel like I noticed pretty swiftly was just the attitude of people trying to out-weird each other.
Yes, right. That's exactly what it is.
Instead of saying weird, they just expressing themselves in different ways, you know what I'm saying? And at our school, we had about 6 or 7 different departments from visual
technical
arts.
Technical design and production.
Yeah. Literary media,
museum
of course,
studies,
of course, vocal, dance, theater, but so many different avenues of expression and stuff. So
I think that's what's so powerful about knowing your story, like hearing what everything you just told me and knowing what your music's like and how your background's been of touring, is that like you've really gotten to see how much being creative and being part of music could be a career.
Sure.
That's
for
really
sure.
Awesome.
For sure. It's definitely a career. We support everyone. If you're
an artist, art is a first choice. You can go right into the arts. Like the thing with our family is we come from a background of a lot of educators. So our grandmother, our grandfather's from here, from New York. He was one of the original Black Panthers. So it was a different thing where they were fighting for like education and stuff. So like as soon as we were coming up, they're like, yeah, you need to go to school and be a teacher and be an educator.
Like,
and we're like, no, we want to be artists.
So
we want to sing. Like that's what we want to do. So definitely like pushing the arts and making that like you can be an artist
as
a first choice. It can happen.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know what's cool? Like, considering, like, growing up with, like, the internet and being able to be exposed...
The new millennial way.
Yeah, exactly. And being exposed to so many musicians. I think it gets misconstrued a lot where people sometimes look at the landscape and they find themselves thinking, like, oh, it's oversaturated. But I like to see it in a way where I think the multitude of artists that are out there shows that there's a space for everybody.
Right, for sure.
And if you use your platform correctly.
If you use it correctly and try to figure out a plan. That's one that's very important. Like, you can wing it, but steps that you learn over time, I would take those and plan it out, because it really works when you have a plan.
Right, we were discovered on Instagram.
For sure.
Were you?
Yeah, that's how PJ found us. We didn't even know who PJ was. And we tell that story all the time. Like, people are like, so how'd you guys meet? Like, have you known each other forever? Yeah, we're like, no. We saw he did a cover to Party Next Door, and Drake, they had a Come and See Me song, and we were like, oh, I sent it to my sister. I said, oh, this guy's dope. Let's hop on it. Let's do a little harmony video to it.
And we were doing mashups prior to that. Yeah. So we were just like, this one would be cool.
This is cool.
We did it with no intention of, you know, getting the gig. Right.
On Instagram. He posted it on Instagram. We reposted it on Instagram. He reposted it on Instagram. And, like, it kept going. Like, everything, you know, just kept going. Yeah. And it's like social media.
I didn't know that story. That's beautiful.
Yes, that is the story.
So, to the millennials, use your social media platforms wisely and correctly. It's the tool of today.
Yeah, so. Everybody goes to. So I feel like even I saw one of my friends, like, they were filling out a job application, and on the job application they asked for their social media handle.
That's
cool. That's insane. On top of that, a lot of record labels and stuff, they look who's popping on IG nowadays, who's popping on Twitter. They want to see the biggest artist, because it's like, it's different. Back then, you would have to go out and
go to, like, the A&R casting calls
and gigs. And nowadays, like, let me see what you can do in your 1 minute video, your 15 second video.
Right.
So use it wisely. Instead of lollygagging, you know, use it wisely.
I'm such an old lollygagging.
Well, you know what's so cool to hear about the fact, like, going back a little bit, hearing about how you guys went to school in D.C. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're here in New York tonight, but I really didn't want to bring up D.C. because tomorrow you'll be doing your album release.
You gotta bring up. You gotta bring up D.C. We're D.C. all day, Northeast, okay?
So, sure. Like, I mean, obviously you're pumped to perform in New York today because it's New York, but, like, how do you feel about that show that's coming up tomorrow? I mean, that's really special.
We're excited about here tonight because our mom is from here. This is second home. So we're just as excited. But tomorrow it's like all our friends are going to be there.
It's a different type of pressure. Yeah. Performing, honestly, like, being on the road for like 2 years now, realizing, like, performing for strangers is way easier than performing for your peers who you actually know, who you love.
Grown up with.
Because it's like, it's a different type of pressure. They know you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can mess up. And a stranger might not know, because they don't know but it's really different when it's people who's close to you. So
we're excited, and we let them listen to the EP before it came out, obviously. Like, family, so we let them listen. So I and they were, like, stunned then. So it's like, tomorrow
I think they're going to be really proud.
Yeah, they'll be proud, and we're ready to give them a show.
I love seeing you guys beaming about it. It's just like, you know, something that's incredible is that I feel like the way the industry is, and just like the way promotion is, and the way people go about touring, is that it gets to a point where sometimes people don't allow themselves to feel elated by their own craft.
Right.
But I can tell from talking to you guys that you guys very much are into your own craft.
Oh, for sure. We have favorite cities. We have favorite food.
We love it.
We've learned from the road. There's so much that we've learned from being on the road, and we really appreciate it. Like, artists who don't tour, we encourage that, because that's learning. You learn so much on the road, you know what I'm saying? Like, you
get to connect with people,
you grow, you connect with your fans. It's just like a beautiful experience.
I feel like it really helps you, like, it makes you want to do it even more,
right?
Like, so
it makes you want to record another record. It's like, I gotta keep giving my fans something, because you have that connection,
right?
Yeah, well, let's go into this awesome record that you guys released, Mon Amour.
Mon Amour.
I love this, and it's something I think is really cool is that when you get to hear a body of work, I think for us music listeners, we always find ourselves trying to figure out what's the theme going on throughout the project. I think with here, you found a way to talk about love in so many different ways.
I love roller coasters.
Yeah, it keeps rebounding in different types of love. Like, I feel like some of the songs are talking about, obviously, relationships, but friendships and family. And, like, there's so many different ways you could go about it. So just going into, like, this EP, do you remember what the conversations were like when you two were, like, working on these songs? Like, how you talked about them amongst each other?
Well, starting off, our message is love, hence our name, The Amours.
So it's, we definitely wanted the first project.
Our first project to
embody love.
Love, period. So we wanted to just capture different versions of it and different views of love. So that was the initial idea, honestly. And it just really came together like that. Because we're just... We are well-rounded, so it was,
super easy. Right. And I think, I feel like what we were really trying to capture is our personality. We wanted to let know our personality off jump, like, period. We are savages. We say that all the time. Like, we love you, but then you have to know that, like, you're not going to play me. That's where, like, I'm good, love, and joy comes in when it's
submissive.
We're not really, you know, going to be like, oh, okay, cool, let's back down. No, we're alpha females, so it's like...
But then being on the road all the time...
You miss those people
who you share that love with, so...
There are certain situations where you want to run away from.
For sure.
So, yeah, like...
That's what I thought was interesting.
Or when you feel like a billionaire... Or someone making you feel like a billionaire, for sure. That's another perspective.
I thought that was really interesting with the songs. And I am going to ask about specific the songs, but something that I found all throughout is that you did, it's just like you're describing, you did hit this really nice contrast between empowerment within the way these songs are, but also noting that you can, I don't want to say weak, but you can feel a sense of like humanness towards someone who will hurt you.
Like, right. For sure.
Like, that's you can real. It's okay to be vulnerable. I feel like a lot of people, they feel like they shouldn't be vulnerable in relationships and like that's different situations. So okay. And it's like, we had to capture that you can be an alpha female and still feel some kind of way.
Yeah.
Like, you can still.
It's a balance to that. So we wanted to capture that for sure.
You know what it made me think about? And like, this might be me like being really super heady, but like I grew up in like, with the, you know, obviously a lot of the early 2000s, like, R&B pop acts, you know, like your Missy Elliott, Eve, like all these incredible acts. And like, obviously there's so many artists out now, but I feel like the kind of messaging you would see in those type of songs, I don't want to go as far as say it's lost, but something that's not as much prevalent. So when I listen to this, it does sound very modern, but it did kind of remind me of like those early 2000s R&B.
That's great. We want timeless music. Everyone still listens to that to this day, because I feel like that as great and as creative a lot of R&B artists are now, it's still a empty space.
But the perspective has also changed. Yeah. Like, people now are nothing like people back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, the honesty, I feel like, is super different in today's music than what it was back then. You know what I'm saying? And that is not always necessarily a good thing, because it's music instead of, you know what I'm saying? So it just depends. Like, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I love that you said timeless, because it just made me think, like, I could definitely tell when a song was released in, like, 2015 versus 2016.
Sure. Right.
But a Brandy song sounds like it could have been released yesterday.
Correct.
So, the EP release kicks off with All the Time, and, you know, what a beautiful track, and it's so full of life sonically, but it's clear that your vocals are the most important part, and that's a thing all throughout the EP, but I wanted to talk about the vocal in regards to this song. What was it like bringing this one to life for you?
So, one of our signatures that we like to do now is, we feel like a lot of groups don't sing together enough, or they don't like to blend enough, and that's something that's super big for us. So we wanted to show on all the records, like you said, we do a thing like an octave thing. So we're like, let's lock in and, you know, blend on this. Then we like to split in harmonies and stuff like that.
So it was definitely about coming together and showing how we can do this together, and then splitting up and it being like, oh my gosh. Like, I didn't expect them to do that. Yeah. So it was really, you know, just, we were really just trying to make some musical magic. Like, just something magic and whimsical.
That you can still bop to and dance. It's a vibe, you know?
Yeah. So. I love that you used that word whimsical, because that's something I definitely felt throughout that particular song and a lot of the other songs. And I love that you can see that matter of whimsy being empowering. Like, you don't see it as something that could be, like, silly or something that downplays anything. Right. You can still be strong, but we're whimsical.
Yeah. Right, for sure.
Totally. That's the musical theater in us. Yeah. So it's like, we definitely appreciate our musical theater background, because it helps with how we, you know, come off in singing and our interpretation of how we deliver everything.
So, you know, the way the title track, Mon Amour, goes and then goes into Ordinary is really beautiful. Like, when I listen to albums and EPs, I'm always keen on seeing how the songs relate to each other.
For sure.
I feel like those two in particular have, like, a nice...
It's the interlude for Ordinary, for sure. So,
Can you tell me what it was like when you created those two? Like, was it within, like, the same day, or was it kind of, like...
We did Ordinary. Ordinary was done first.
Really?
Yes.
Months.
Yes. Like, Ordinary was done in, like, August 2017?
No, that's
2018.
I legit did the same thing yesterday talking to someone. I was, like, convinced something happened 2 years ago. My friend looked at me like I was a psychopath.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely 2018.
We got signed August.
The weekend that
we started singing with PJ, August 2017.
So, August 2018, that's when we recorded Ordinary. And
Mon Amour.
Yeah, Mon Amour came in March.
March.
Yeah, we just did Mon Amour in March. So it was just like we went back.
When you recorded Mon Amour, did you find yourselves feeling like, I don't want to ever say like a song feels incomplete, but do you feel like after you recorded Mon Amour, it made Ordinary feel more whole in a way?
See, honestly, we set with Ordinary. So we had the first two songs we recorded was Ordinary and Runaway. We sat with those for so long, and we were so sold on those songs.
Yeah.
I think honestly, Mon Amour was created and it's a different emotion. It just connected.
Right.
It ended up coming together so well. But I know that was for sure created in a different emotion than from what Ordinary was.
And I think what you're hearing when you say like it sounds connected. One thing that we love is that we have a team of producers, and we use the same producers, and they were all on the same, everybody worked on.
Same sonic the sound. Same thing.
So it's like the sounds and stuff, they were perfect, so I feel like it fits to go into.
I love hearing that, because one of my little peeves, it's probably a bigger peeve than I'd like to admit, but it's a bit of a peeve of mine when I listen to a project, and
scattered.
It's scattered in terms of production.
Same. Yeah.
And it could be fun, million. But it just doesn't make it feel whole.
No. Right. Yeah. A record, we feel like a record should be, you know, complete and have the connection with the same producers, because you can really get that same sound, honestly. Right. So
it gives a sense of identity to it all. Right. Yeah. So how would you say making this body of work challenge you guys as singers? Because you did talk about how you sing in a very particular way. And I wonder how you found yourselves trying new things when you're in the studio, because just by the nature of making new music, you have to try new things.
Well, in the studio, it's not as hard. I think it's more hard. It's harder live than, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're realizing with this tour that we're on, the PJ Keys and Mike tour featuring the Amours, we feel like it's... we feel like the challenges that we're facing, they're just, like, learning how to sing them live and how to approach them. And because a lot of the... On this tour, everything's stripped down, so it's like we have to...
Yeah, in the studio, we're comfortable because we're there to stack. We're stacking harmonies. We're in there. It's cool. Like, I sing low, so it's like, boom, I'm right here in my pocket.
Right.
Cool. Live, it's like you got people right there, and you have to make sure you're sitting up straight because it's not going to just read off as clean as it is in the studio.
Right.
So, yeah, like the studio was definitely, the easier part.
Wow.
For sure. And we're live girls. Like, we want to for sure be known to have great live performances, for sure. But this tour, for sure, we're just learning how to sing our own music. Yeah. It's pretty fun. It's a challenge, though.
You know what must be wild? And I'm going to be, like, a little geeky real quick, but I'll just tell for people listening. One of the things that's wild with a tour such as this, where things are quite stripped back, is that in contrast to tours where things are a lot more amplified, you're really much more on the mercy of the type of rooms you're in terms of acoustics. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about challenges within how you're singing, I imagine that's kind of been playing a role to it too, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, how's that been for the most part? I mean, for most of the rooms you guys have been in, have you found it where it's like, when you're doing your sound checks, it's kind of like, okay, I get the vibe of the room.
Oh,
like,
most definitely.
For sure.
Like, our first two nights of the tour, they were really, really rocky for us because we were just like, whoa, like... Is this going to be like this every night? Sound check was cool.
Yeah.
And you get in there and it's like a completely different vibe, but also...
A different type of confidence you have to have when you're in the front as well. You know what I'm saying? In this tour, we jump from doing backs to, you know, leads. Being the lead. So it's like, you have to legit just switch to that, you know, that art, like, at all times we're the Amores, all day, but it's like, you have to switch from supporting to you're in the front, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's
like that.
I think this tour is challenging us so much that once we do our own, or once we're, you know, just gigging all the time with our music, it's going to be a piece of cake. This is the hard part, I feel like. So I think it's really shaping us, honestly.
And it's teaching us that any room that you walk in, you just still have to be you.
Yeah, for sure. Period.
Do you guys know that group King?
We love King. Okay. We love King.
We love them.
The reason I bring them up is I remember, like, maybe a year ago or so, I talked to them about pretty much this kind of similar thing about rooms and being at the mercy of them. And I can't remember which one said it, but one of them were just like, you know, one of the things we all fucking make a stink about is if we walk into a venue and we notice that the ceiling is low, we're like, shit. And it makes me think about your music a bit, because the way your music is, it's like, yo, I just want to say for people listening who aren't familiar with your music, the way it sounds is that, like, it's smooth, but there's a grandness to it that needs a big room, man.
We like to hear that. Big rooms.
Yeah, big rooms coming soon, man.
Big rooms coming soon. Holla at us, period.
So going back to music, I feel like both I'm Good, Love, and Joy and Runaway are such beautifully simple tunes, and they highlight what you're really good at in terms of having that musicality and melding with, like, simple songwriting.
Mm-hmm. That was the goal. That was the goal, to just
make music that everybody can listen to and, like, everybody can sing.
And simple is good, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't... Also, we love that you can have a simple record, and then your live element can be so much...
Completely different. Yeah, it grows.
But still be very tasteful on the record. Like, it's not simple to the point where it's like, oh, I'm not feeling it. No, you can still... We like to call it heart music. We want you to really feel it. You know what I'm saying? So, minus all the runs that we could have did on the record, or, like... You know what I'm saying? We wanted the decisions to be more tasteful than anything, so.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier, you want the person that can't sing a lick, you want the shower singers to be able to feel like they are reigning supreme singing these songs.
But you also want the singers to
be able to sing,
shed over it.
To shed and be like, okay, I need to work on this. Let me figure out how I'm going to blend. But it's just like a balance.
Right, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I really found myself connecting with Good Love. It's a tune.
It's a bop. You gotta say it's a bop.
It's a proper bop.
And
that song in particular reminds me right back of what I was talking about, that early R&B sound. And, like, I could obviously tell, like, that was inspiration of listening to this particular song. But tell me, like, when it came to this one, how did you find yourselves approaching the simplicity? What I mean by that is, from what I've seen in studios and just being around artists, is that it's so much harder making a song simple and reducing it sonically than it is adding things on. I feel here is, like, the sweet spot.
Right.
So
So Good Love was really inspired by Future. You know, so, like, a year ago, Future came out with that. Well, he didn't come out with it. He, like, tweeted somebody, "I'm Good Love and Joy," and, like, the internet went crazy over it. So everybody was saying it. And the day that we did Good Love and Joy was the day Future dropped his album, and we were waiting to see if he was going to do a song like that, because that's what the world has been waiting for. Yeah. And
it would have been so smart. So
it would have been amazing, and he didn't. So we were in the studio, and
the production came first.
PJ started messing around,
and we was like,
"Yeah, we were in there vibing."
And honestly, we wanted something boppy on the record. We were like, okay, we have Runaway, we have Billionaire, we've captured all these emotions, but we need something that people can really jam to a little faster than Ordinary.
Yeah.
Because we remind you, we had Ordinary in August 2018. So we're just like, in March, we're just like, okay, what's missing? You know what I'm saying? That was the last missing. That was the last, like, record we did.
It has that, like, trap element to it, too. That has, like, we'll have the younger
kids. It's simple. Kids, like, it's, like, it's catchy. Cool. Yeah.
You did that song for the barbecue.
The barbecue.
That's the barbecue song, the club song,
We've been seeing so many videos of people singing it, and, like, they're like, oh, bop into it.
I guess, like, it also connects with people, because you, when you're in a situation, you're like, the next for me will be the best for me. I'm good. And, like, you're backing away from something.
We've been seeing guys, girls, everyone singing it. So it's just, like, great.
Everyone gets it. And, you know, you talked about how you connected with PJ earlier on in the talk. Mm-hmm. But can you talk real quick about what it was like because obviously it's one thing to like have that thing kick off where like someone as influential as mm-hmm. him reaches out to you. But what was it like to decide that, okay, we're going to sign with this dude? Like, how did that kind of come about?
So, actually, we never wanted to be signed, yeah, actually.
That was the first. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it was kind of just a thing of, like, we've, of course, seen so many. Everyone knows the stories of bad deals.
Yeah,
like,
you watch documentaries, you watch biopics. Everything,
you know? So, it's like, that, of course, was, as indie artists, that was a fear for us. But then, when we met PJ... And when we met him, we still weren't trying to sign. Mind you, we were on tour for
a year. Oh, we're traveling the world for free, and all we got to do is sing and get paid for it? Bet. Let's do it.
Yeah, it was. We were on the road, and it still didn't click to us that we wanted to, you know what I'm saying? Like, we were literally just doing backs for him, like, mm-hmm. and just experiencing that. That was enough in itself.
Yeah.
And then, like, it just...
Over time, we came to a point where we realized
we could, like, create together, and, like, it could be special, and it could be magical, you know what I'm saying? It can be different from what's out right now, especially as a duo. So, with his production, and, you know what I'm saying, like, his sound was combined with ours, we were just like, this could be something super special. So, it took us some time to, you know what I'm saying,
right.
to decide to want to sign, but then he explained his vision of Morton Records, and we were just like... This is a label where you can still have your artistic freedom, because really what artists want
is freedom.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They want to be able to create, and they want, you know, they want that creative freedom. So that a lot of labels don't give, that they take control of. So his label is modeled after giving you that freedom. So we were just like, maybe signing is not so bad after all. Yeah. Like, so he helped change our perspective for sure. And it's been great ever since.
Yeah.
And that's really beautiful. And I think going along with that, something that's really important for you guys with where you are at your career now, and just like how it's still relatively early in a lot of ways, is that you have someone like him who is in this mammoth of a band, Maroon 5,
right.
People don't know. But you get to see what he's doing solo, and just like, I think it's important, because just a little bit of my background, I started out working with a lot of like DIY punk mm-hmm. bands, mm-hmm. and then I started working like the big label machine, and when you start out working in, like, DIY, like, punk garage stuff, you tend to have this, like, idea of what labels are like.
Right, right.
And you kind of think, like, a lot of artistry and, like, commerce can't exist, like, side by side. But then when I went into big label world, I started realizing, oh, it can. And I feel like he's a big example.
Right.
Like, where you Correct. Get to see, like, he's in this big mammoth of a thing, mm-hmm. yet here he is with his solo stuff, and there's so much artistry. It's like the two
he works Right, and he and he shows us that. That I feel like that's the one thing that I appreciate the most is... If he has Maroon things, like if Maroon comes to DC, we're there. He shows us everything. Then he shows us
the best of both worlds.
Yeah, then he shows us like our part on like his tour. It's like, so we see everything. And then he shows us that you can be touring for however long and you'll go home for one day and get on a flight and go to wherever you have to go the next day. Like, so we learn so much, and we do learn the best of both worlds.
It's like similar to him. Like, he does double duty with his own, and Maroon, right now, we're doing double duty with our own and his back. Yeah. So, he's a teacher for real, for sure.
Professor Paul.
Yep.
Yeah. I have to let you run here, but before I do, I'm usually not one to talk about cosigns, but I read how Janelle Monae is a big fan of yours, and she's, to me, like, a musical pioneer, someone I have a lot of respect for and I admire a lot. And I imagine mm-hmm. if you guys being music fans, that must be the mm-hmm. same. How does it feel knowing that someone like that is into what you're doing?
We didn't know that. So
she followed she followed us. We get like a couple people they follow us every now and then, and I guess we're just really chill with some things because we don't really like to let things get to our heads. So it's like, cool, like we have somebody's attention, that's dope. Like, let's keep getting their attention and get some more people's attention. So I guess it's pretty dope.
Yeah, like just knowing what she's like a little bit, I don't know her well at all, mm-hmm. but I've had the fortunate chance of like being around her a bit and talking to her, and I just know when it comes to people who are doing music that's authentic, she really does gravitate towards mm-hmm. that. And I imagine from her, even though I can't speak for her, I imagine that's what she feels with you guys. Because that's what I got.
We hope so. We hope she loves us. Hey, Janelle. It's the Amores. Holla at us.
Guys, thanks for this talk. I'm really looking forward to catching your set tonight.
Oh, yes. Like,
I'm really
so cool. Yes. City Winery, New York City. What's today's date?
May 4th.
Oh, you're in April. Come on, you gotta catch up.
And then May 4th.
Yes, DC. Cinco de Amores.
Period. And period. We have a part, an after party, the official Mona Moore album release party. Pull up on us, man.
It's going to be amazing.
Guys, thanks so much. It's really nice.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you. Oh, every time I leave, I'm waiting for the next time you're next.